Okay, guys, if you'll go to Psalms 100. I was actually going to go to 108 today, but as I was studying and praying, I landed here. And I literally landed with probably a series. We'll see how it works out. So before we start this, we're going to read it. It's actually a fairly short psalm. But before I read this, I want to ask you a question. It's a quiz. Okay. When God created the heavens and earth, did he just sit there and think it into existence?
No.
What did he do?
He spoke it into existence.
Okay. So, and he says that I am going to make them in the image of me. Remember that? We're in his image. That doesn't mean we're gods. Okay. Don't get excited. All right. But we are eternal. And attributes from God are carried on to his children. And what we say, and you're going to say, oh, he's starting on that, name it and claim it. No, I'm not. Okay. But Lord, I am believing. Oh, never mind. Okay. This is not about the typical name it and claim it, and I'm trying to get this, I'm trying to get that. This is not about stuff. This is about the kingdom of God, guys. And everything, you know, the word pervert means to twist. It means to turn. You're going straight ahead, and when it gets perverted, it goes to the left, it goes to the right, it gets mixed up, it goes in the wrong direction. So I don't want us to use this to pervert this for our own uses. What I want us to do is to realize how important it is what we say. All right, Psalms 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Make a joyful mumble to the Lord. Does it say mumble? Okay. And it's okay. You don't have to shout. I don't want anybody to get scared. All ye lands, serve the Lord how?
Gladness.
With gladness. Come before his presence with what?
Singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Proverbs has got a lot to say about this. Proverbs 18 and 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Okay? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Is that the truth? Mm-hmm. The reason I know it's the truth is because I've seen it happen. I've experienced it myself, but the Word of God says it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's like I was talking to somebody the other day. Can you imagine Saul, who was later Paul, he's riding his donkey, he's doing his business, his mule, whatever, and he's knocked off his donkey by the power of God, hears the voice of God, is blinded by God, Jesus. He says, you're persecuting me. Remember that? But can you imagine 6 months later, we're at Porter's grocery store and Paul comes in I said, Paul, you know, you're nuts. That didn't, why you, you know, you used to be a good Jew. Now you're in this cult, this Christianity cult. Now you're in a cult. Can you imagine saying, you didn't see that. Can you imagine trying to talk him out of that? And I got to thinking about that. And people say, oh, well, you know, the resurrection, you know, people died. There was over 500 people that saw him after he rose from the dead, experienced the dead folks jumping up and walking around when he was crucified. Can you say, well, how did they have the strength to go to the torture? How did they go through and get put in prison? Because they knew it was true. It was not a theory. They didn't die for a theory. They died for something they saw and something they knew. And I want to tell you, what I'm telling you today is the truth. I've lived it. I've seen it. I've seen the positive aspects of it, the negative aspects. But death and life are in the power of the tongue. You have power in your tongue. What you say matters. Okay? 15:1. Probably we're still in Proverbs. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise use knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pour forth foolishness. Guys, I want to tell you, you need to listen to who you need to be careful who you're listening to. You need to be careful to who you're listening to, because you know I'm very suspicious. No, I'm, you know, just because people say I'm paranoid, it's not because there's nothing to be paranoid of. No, I'm just kidding. But the point is, I'm very suspicious when somebody is always pointing here. Look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. It always makes me suspicious because I have lived long enough to watch the finger pointing out of the pulpit, the finger pointing, and then they get indicted. Okay, seriously, the finger point. Them people play the wrong kind of music, and before long, they've got people testify. I mean, I'm just telling you guys. So be very careful. Listen to what people say, but that doesn't mean let it be part of who you are. Proverbs 17:27. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is a calm spirit. And this is one of my favorite Proverbs here, 28. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lip, he's considered perception. In other words, if you keep your mouth shut, they don't know how stupid you are. No, I'm serious. People literally, I was somewhere the other day, and there was a subject that has nothing to do with the gospel, has nothing to do with Christianity, has nothing to do with anything that matters. There's this subject going on, and this young man comes in, and he said, well, you know this, I'm doing this, you know, and I'm sitting there. And what he didn't know is that I've been to school to study the very subject that we're talking about. I know how to take it apart, put it back together, and instead of me going, you know, all I said was, you might want to look into that. Because he showed how ignorant he was of the subject, because he was just, this is a fact, this is a fact, this is a fact, you know? And somebody had probably told him that. But the truth is, it wasn't true. But if he had been quiet, I wouldn't have known he didn't know anything about it. So, back to Psalms 100. What are you saying? What are you talking about? Proverbs 12:13. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise.
Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. Am I at the wrong place?
I think so.
I may either be at the wrong place or... It's 12:13. So did I say 13:13?
I don't know.
Okay. Proverbs 12:13. Oh, wait. There it is. I'm reading the wrong place because I don't have, I'm looking at the wrong, I'm wrong. Thank you. The wicked cover the catch of the evil man. That's 12. The root of the righteous yields fruit, but the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. Is that what it says?
Yeah.
But the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his what? Fruit of his what?
Mouth.
I'm just telling you. And the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. It matters what you do, but does it matter what you say? Is that what it's saying?
Yep.
Okay. And 13, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips. Oh my goodness. So sometimes we just need to be quiet. So three examples, and then we'll go to James, that as I was studying this. The first I've already talked about, and then we'll take for a second. But the world was spoken into existence. That's our heavenly Father. That's how it worked. The second thing, though, is very interesting. The kids were home this past week, the grandkids. And their grandma gets out the old videos that my kids used to watch. And one of them is I think it's called Superbook. And I walked in just in time. It's Bible stories, essentially, is what it is. And I walked in just in time to sit down for there for a minute, grab one of them babies and hold a minute and see this part of the show, okay? So, Israel, Moses is gone. Joshua, which you know translate Yeshua, okay? It's a Hebrew form of the Greek word Jesus, okay, is their new leader. They're going into the promised land. But before they can go very far in there, you got this thing, this wall, this city called Jericho. They've crossed the river, okay. God moved it back, they crossed over. They're in the territory. But before they can go do the next thing, they have to deal with this wall. And I believe for us today that God's saying until we can get to where he wants us to go, we've got to deal with this wall. There's a lot of aspects of Jericho, and we're not going to be able to get into many of those, but this is the part that I want us to get today. They look at this thing, and it seems like, this is impenetrable. This is unbelievable. How are we going to do this? And what you would think, you know, because as you read the Bible, God's done a bunch of stuff in a bunch of different ways. You know, what I'd be waiting for is us to walk out there and stand there a minute, and the walls start shaking, fall down, and then we go take it. But guess what? That's not what he did. He said, I want you to, he doesn't use these words, but I'm using them. We're going to discipline ourselves. We're going to go out there the first day, and we're going to walk around this wall, and we're going to be completely quiet. And we're going to go out the second day. And we're going to walk around there, the full army. They've got all their gear with them. You know, you say, well, can we leave our gear here? Can I just whisper about this? No, they had to discipline themselves to be complete. I don't know how many of them, thousands. And they're walking around this wall with all their stuff. And I'm sure the people on the wall saying, yeah, come get some of this. Who knows what was going on? Okay, I wasn't there. But here's the deal. They're walking around and they discipline themselves. This is what they have to discipline. The third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, same thing. That's what they're supposed to do. And on the seventh day, it gets harder. They go around six times that day, not saying a word. And on the seventh time, he said, shout. And when they did, guess what God did? The walls fell down. They took the city. It's a wonderful story. We'll spend a month on it someday. But here's the deal. Here's the deal, guys. No joke. Think about that part tied into this scripture, the discipline of the tongue. Can you be quiet? Can you, when people are out here railing over here and railing over here, do we have to get into the argument and tell them how smart we are about the situation? Or can we, through the Holy Spirit, because it's not our nature, okay? It's not our nature, but through the Holy Spirit, can we just go, in our mind, we go, Lord, yeah, they're ignorant, but I don't have to tell them. We have a whole generation, a whole group of people out there that their job is to keep everybody else straight. They think. Because they find something in, I mean, it's literally, now I went to school once in a while when I was a kid. And I mean, I was not real regular. But, you know, they don't hold that against me now, I don't think. I always sat in an area I could look over somebody's shoulder, though, and get the answer, so I was not stupid. But anyway, the point being is this. On the days I was there, okay, I listened. And that what I listened helped me on the day of the test. I didn't raise up and say, I don't think that's right. No, because life can be a teacher, and if you will listen, but here's the deal. During that time when I was there, every once in a while, the teacher would look down and say, so-and-so, you need to do this. And they'd say, well, you know, they'll point to the other person in the class, won't they? He did that, which they thought took the spotlight off of them. Does that make sense? Is that what's going on everywhere today? Every political, every argument of everything. But we have, since they got Google and the Facebook and the Instagram and the X, Y, and Z and all them other things, they got all that, so they know everything. Because, you know, all that's completely accurate. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I bought a lot of crack cocaine. And not one person I bought crack cocaine, I didn't tell any of them, say, hey, I'm an undercover police officer. I'm here to buy crack cocaine so I can send you to the penitentiary. Not one time. That was not an approved way to do that. In fact, the first guy that I ever bought crack cocaine from walked away and his pants fell down. I thought, you know, I'm in the right. I can catch him. I can even get out of this little economy car and chase him, and I think I can. Anyway. But not one time, because what was I doing? I was getting what I wanted, wasn't I? I was doing my job, and I want to tell you, the enemy is here to kill, steal, and destroy. And I'm not saying these people are possessed by him, but I'm saying their tongue is being used by them to cause the confusion, to cause all this. And there's just not a lot of peace out there. This is one of the stories that I always go back to. Of course, David's my go-to guy. David has had a run. He's surrounded by people who are on the run, who can't pay their taxes, who are discontent. They're actually called outcasts in the King James Version. That was his army, the outcasts. The people that were in trouble, the people, they rushed to him, okay? And as he's got them, they're actually out patrolling and helping Israel under his command. He's not king. He's on the run from Saul. Everything that could be going wrong is going wrong. And guys, while they're gone, the Amalekites come and take everything they have. Their wives, their cattle, their children, everything was taken. It's a place called Ziklag. And I want to tell you guys, when they came home, this is what the Bible says. They wept till they had no tears left. They were to a point, they wept, and then what happened next was these guys that had depended on David for everything, would follow him anywhere, they began to talk about killing David. It's David's fault. Do we do that? And they start talking about that. And David has to get along with the Lord. And this is what the Bible says. He comforted himself in the Lord. He didn't have nobody to because everybody else trying to kill. Well, I don't know if they were trying, but they were talking about it. Does that make sense? And he had to comfort himself. And I want to tell you, when you read these Psalms, some of them are, praise the Lord. And some of them are like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to get through this. You see what I'm saying? But he comforted himself in the Lord. And David, as he's running toward the biggest fight he's had before this one, he's running toward the giant. The giant said, I'm going to do this. He said, no, my God is more powerful than you are. He's saying it out of his mouth, isn't he? And I can tell you, I wasn't there, but as I look at that, I know when he was comforting himself, he said, Lord, I know you have a plan. I know you're in charge. I know. And he began to magnify the Lord. He was encouraging the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what happened. He went and got all his stuff back.
Amen.
Through the power of God. But if he'd have sat there and said, poor, poor, pitiful me. Oh, that's the wrong song. Who was that? Poor, poor, pitiful me.
I didn't love us.
Yeah. I mean, I hear a lot of people out there. Bunch of people. Okay. Anyway. We can't do that poor, poor, pitiful me song. Okay. And what was the one on Hee Haw?
Gloom, despair, agony on me.
Deep. Somebody watched Hee Haw.
Bad luck, I'd have no luck at all.
See? I'm in the right, I've got the right audience. And here's the deal. Literally, guys, the bottom line is, if that's your focus, that's what's going to happen.
Amen.
I'm telling you. I don't know if you know this. I know this would be shocking to you. But I can get distracted pretty easy. And I'm going down the road, and I'm very careful with this now, okay? Because, you know, there's a yard sale, and I get to looking for a long, you know, and I'm all, and with these roads around here, they're curvy. You have to be very careful, okay? And then the faster you're going, the scarier it gets, okay? And, yeah, exactly. So, but the point being is this. Watch where your eyes go, and then watch what comes out of your mouth. So, the book of James, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to start spending more time in James, because as I was reading this today, I think it's James 3, it's after Hebrews, I think. It's not easy to find. It's a little bitty book, you know, them little bitty books. Them little ones in the back. It's not like Matthew or Psalms, you know, it's right there.
James, what, 3?
James chapter 3. All right. The untamable tongue is the way it starts. And mine is paraphrased. My brother, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put, watch this, bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. You know, how many in here has ever rode a horse? I've tried to turn their head with my, with a, it was like a bridle. Sorry, no, not a bridle, a halter, where it doesn't have a, I've literally been, and I, that was before I was as smart as I am now, okay? That horse is stronger than you, all right? Now, I don't know about miniature horses. You can probably take it, okay? But anyway, but the point being is, but that bridle will actually, when it's got that bit in it, it will actually bend because it pulls. And watch this, guys. We put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. And look at ships. Although they are large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder. Your tongue is your rudder. If you want to wonder where you're going to be in 5 years, listen to what you're saying. I'm dead serious. Listen to what you're saying. If you're wondering, or if you may do like I do, you may change, you may hear something, you go, nope! And I say, nope, that ain't, I ain't saying that, because I don't want that. Okay? So, even the tongue, a little member, and boasts of great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. That tongue can set stuff on fire. The tongue is like a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set out among our members. It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and set on fire by hell. So here's the deal. It goes on, and we'll probably get into this next week, but this is what I want to make sure you know. I have been convicted. The reason we're talking about this morning, and I'm not talking about condemned. Conviction means being drawn to the truth, okay? So I sat down, and I'm gonna end with this, and I'm gonna do this with you today. Don't repeat it. It's way too many of these to do that, but I'm gonna give you an idea of what I'm talking about. In the mornings, at some point, this is a sample of some of the things that I do. I will live and not die, and I will declare the works of the Lord. Did you hear what I just said? I will declare the works of the Lord. I will live and not die. That's Psalms 118. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to heaven. Okay? I'm not kidding. I'm going to heaven. Some of y'all say, well, you know, we'll see. But no, I'm going to heaven. He paid the price for me, but I'm going to have what God wants me to have in this life. You know why? Because he said I was. And I don't want nothing he don't want me to have. Because I've had some stuff I think he didn't want me to. Okay, we'll keep. That's a different story. The third one is this. I'm strong and courageous. I will not be afraid of anyone, for the Lord God goes with me. He will not fail me or forsake me. Did you know God's never failed? Did you know he has never forsaken me? Have you been through some stuff?
Yes.
I've been through some stuff. And I want to tell you something, but he has not forsaken me. Romans 8:28 says, God is working all things together for my good. All things are working together for my good, if you like it better that way. However, how you want to say that. But it's working right now. Did you know God's working this out for my good? Me being in the wrong verse a minute ago, that's he's working out for my good, okay? But watch this. God's plans are to prosper and not harm me. He is giving me hope and a future. If you're hopeless this morning, you need to begin to proclaim that he has given me hope and a future. If you're worried about your future, he has a future for you. But quit saying, well, that's never going to work out. This is not going to. No, start saying what the Word of God says. The next one's in Philippians. Guess what? When Paul wrote this, things weren't going so good. No, I'm serious. Okay? When he wrote this, things weren't going so good. But he said these things. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm strong enough to do whatever I need to do. If I get up and say, "Ooh, I don't feel like doing that," you know what I say? I don't care. I don't care. Because sometimes I don't feel like brushing my teeth. Well, that's not true. Whatever. Sometimes I don't feel like paying my light bill. Now, that was the truth. Okay. But guess what? I pay it anyway. All right. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I proclaim that. I will praise God. That's in Joshua. I will praise God because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalms 139. I want to tell you something. Sometimes my hair won't do what I want it to do. Shocking revelation. Okay. But guess what? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God made it. And here's one. Timothy, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. My mind is sound. My mind is sound. I have the mind of Christ. And you say, "Oh, you're just proud." No, I'm really not, because, you know, okay, we'll leave that unsaid. I think you know me well enough to know what I'm thinking. Okay. But I've got power. I'm not going to walk in fear. And I'm going to walk in love even when y'all don't act right. No, I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about y'all being to everybody but me. Okay. If y'all ain't acting right, I'm going to love you anyway. And that don't mean I'm going to lend you money if you're throwing it away. You know, not that I'm cheap or anything. Okay. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I'm going to tell you something. I choose joy. What are you going to do? You going to choose sadness? I'm going to choose joy. I'm going to be happy. You say, "Well, I don't know what's going to happen about this." Well, guess what? Neither do I. I'm going to be happy. If gas is $4 a gallon, God's going to give me enough money for it. If it's, I pumped it at 29 cents a gallon. I'm hoping it'll go back to that. I'm holding out for that. Okay, that would have been several months ago. A long time. How's that? I will not fear. God is with me. I will not be dismayed, for he is my God. He will strengthen me and help me. He will uphold me with his right hand. And I'm going to tell you something. This is not, when you read the men and women in the Bible, they went through some stuff, didn't they?
Yes.
They did some stupid stuff. You know, not just the Bible. I mean, just everybody. We've all done stupid stuff. But here's the deal. He is my God. He will strengthen me. He will help me. And he will uphold me with his right hand. And I'm going to tell you something. Everything that I'm reading, the reason this scripture matters is God is not a man. He don't lie. God don't lie. That's Numbers. And in Joel 2 and 25, God gave me this years ago. I've been saying this out loud for a long, long time. Not regularly. I'll go through spells and then I'll quit and then I'll start back. But I want to tell you, you need to read Joel 2 and 25. God will restore what the locust has eaten. He says, "I will restore to you the years that this locust has eaten." Do you want everything God has for you? Then you better start thinking about it. You better start letting it come out of your mouth, okay? Or we can sit around and whine, which I'm good at also. Proverbs 31, no human wisdom or understanding or plan, we read it back in our Psalms 91, no trap, no device, no human wisdom or understanding can stand against God. Is that the truth? We think we're so smart. Well, you know, my grandma had it figured out. You could always tell what she had for supper the night before because that was her spit can. Okay. And she'd say, "Bruce, you know they didn't go to the moon. You can put anything on TV." You know, and I'm getting more like her. Anyway. God's doing a new thing. He's making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Are you ready for a new thing? Because we think God's going to change the desert. No, he's going to give you the stream in the desert. You know what? This world is a mess. But do you want what God has for you in this mess?
Yes.
God bless this mess. I don't think that's actually in the Bible, but anyway, that's a prayer. He's doing a new thing. Streams in the desert gives you a way in the wilderness. Proverbs says, I will trust the Lord with all my heart. I will not depend upon my understanding. I will seek his will in all I do, and he will show me the path to take. Will he show you the path to take?
Yes.
Will he show you the path to take?
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you, sometimes we have to pay attention, okay? Because this word, everything I'm reading here is the word, and we need to stay in the word and let it come out of our mouth. Oh, here's one. I will delight myself in the Lord, and he will give me the desires of my heart. And I'm going to tell you something. This scripture is probably one of the most abused ones you can get. Because I don't want one, by the way. I'm making this up, I promise. I want a chartreuse BMW, okay, with a long antenna and a coontail off the back. Okay, isn't that a beautiful picture? Okay, so that's something I want. If I want that bad enough, God will do the desires of my heart. Well, you know what? He might, but I would focus on something else, okay? But the way that I translate this is he has changed the desires of my heart. Did you know what? I want the very best for y'all. I do. And that's not my nature. My nature is want the very best for me. No, it is. I was raised an only child for the first 8 years. I hope Greg's watching this morning. But anyway, but the point being is this. Literally, I love you, Greg. I didn't mean to kill you. When I was dragging him with that, I used to drag him, never mind. I put a football helmet on him and would put him on the tank of my motorcycle and would try to jump ramps and stuff. It's no big deal. No real broken bones. Okay. So, he'll give us the desires of our heart. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. And it says the prayer of a righteous man is the way one version says it. But the bottom line is, it matters what we do, it matters what we pray, and we're going to get into that in the next service. Okay, three more. My God will meet all my needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Is God meeting your needs? Does he get all my wants? There's some channels I can't get on TV, okay? But I don't pray about that, all right? But I'm not kidding, guys. Literally, he is meeting our needs, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay. I will remain steadfast under trial. That was Philippians, okay? This is James. I will remain steadfast under trial, and I will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And even, am I going to screw it up? Absolutely. I can give you a written guarantee. There's very few things I can give you a written guarantee of. And will it look exactly like I thought it was going to look? No, it will not. That's another. I could give you a short rider on the end of that with that guarantee. I will remain steadfast under trial, and I will receive the crown of life which God has promised those who love him. He has taken care of my eternity. It's paid for. And I will not be denied. Avenel.
Amen.
And you say, I don't think this is going to work. I don't think it's true. Well, I do care what you think on a professional level. Okay. But guess what Matthew 19 says? With God, all things, even me having a beard as cool as you. I mean, I hadn't prayed about that. But with God, all things are possible. And you go, well, Bruce, you're awful optimistic today. Well, okay, I'll close with this really quick, which means absolutely nothing. But watch this. Literally, guys. God uses the foolish to confound the wise. He took a widow woman and provided for the prophet. He took a dirty bird and provided for the prophet. Is that what happened?
Yes.
God does what he wants to do because you know what? Because he's God. Isn't he? So, Father, we acknowledge you as God, and your word's true, and everybody else is a liar.
Amen.
Your word's the truth. And we stand on your word, and we're going to put your word out of our mouth, Lord, and then we're going to walk the path you've called us to walk, and everybody else could just be happy with that. And, Lord, we love you. We give our lives to you. Thank you for this group of people, God, and thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, because without your Spirit, Lord, we can't even come to you, and I sure wouldn't have anything to say. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The end.